Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Be quiet and come out of him. And when the demon had come out of him in their midst, And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him without doing him any harm. And amazement came upon all, and they began discussing with one another, saying, What is this message? With authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the report about him was getting out into every locality in the surrounding district. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's home. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they made request of him on her behalf. And standing over her, he rebuked the fever, and it left her. And she immediately arose and waited on them. And while the sun was setting, all who had any sick with various diseases brought them to him. And laying his hands on every one of them, he was healing them. And demons also were coming out of many, crying out and saying, You are the Son of God. And rebuking them, he would not allow them to speak, because they knew him to be the Christ. And when day came, he departed and went to a lonely place. And the multitudes were searching for him and came to him and tried to keep him from going away from them. But they said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. And they kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Amen. So we have in this, we have another account of the temptation of Christ. And this one's a little different than the account that, that we shared on even a few weeks ago. And in this one, Jesus being full of the Spirit comes down. The really only thing I want you to see here is really in verse 6. It's a very interesting statement that the devil makes. He says, I'll give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I'll give it to whomever I wish. Right, the word being, this has been handed over to me. You know, the enemy can never really take anything. Right, you know, let's start building a good, solid theology, or what we call a demonology in some ways. The enemy can never really take anything from us. You know, even as we look throughout the scriptures, we see that the enemy actually always needed permission. You know, in the case of Job, you know, in other cases, and a lot of it's kind of unwritten. But he makes a very, very wise statement, you know, that this has been handed over to me. You know, the only power that the enemy has is the power that we give it. Plain and simple. You know, because sometimes we do a couple of different things. We sometimes overemphasize the enemy's power, you know, and sometimes we de-emphasize the enemy's power. And we need to have a kind of a good balance there. The enemy does have power, but the only power that the devil has, or the evil spirits, or whatever you want to call it, is really the power that we give it. You know, and in this context here, the power that he's talking about, obviously, was the exchange that happened when Adam committed sin. Now, it doesn't mean that you say, okay, devil, here's my heart, here's, you know, obviously, you know, I mean, there are willful gestures that people do. You know, like you've heard, you know, the phrase, people, I have sold my soul to the devil. That's actually a very true statement. There are people that have done that, you know, and, but that's not, but most, we won't even move in that category. Right, but what kind of power can we give the enemy over our lives, right? And it's simply, right, it operates in the realm of sin, obviously, you know. And and don't think that, okay, I lied one time, so that's it, you know. No, this is a habitual, continual, unrepentant state that you're in, you know. And when that happens, right, you basically open the door. You know, John Wimber used to say that it's like air traffic control, you know, on the ground when planes are coming in, and it's like these guys with lights being saying, okay, demons here, come on in, here I am, you know, enter in right here, you know. And that's kind of the pretty decent picture of what it's like. And so, you know, that kind of unrepentant sin is one of the, unforgiveness is another one, but also areas of unsubmission, you know, areas that you do not submit to God, right, basically is food for the enemy to operate on. You know, and so to give kind of one example, you know, if on Sunday, if some really crazy person comes to church, you know, and starts, you know, cursing the congregation or something, you know, and just throws curses here and there and throws curses, you know, back and forth, you know, the curses just can't land on you for no reason. You know what I mean? Like, I heard people say, like, oh, be careful, you know, when you're praying for someone who's demonized, that demon doesn't jump on you. That could be one of the most ridiculous statements ever, right, in the history of ministry, right? Because, I mean, why would they, you know, I mean, why would a demon jump on you? Well, they can if there's something there that brings the attraction, right? if you are living a godly life, if you are, have a repentant heart, you don't have to worry about any of this kind of stuff, right? You know, I think the Psalms tells us that, you know, curses actually need a place to land, you know, and so we don't need to be worried about that, you know. So someone comes in and, you know, starts cursing people all the time and, you know, whatnot, especially maybe some cultic people or something. We don't have to be afraid that we're going to get cursed, right? You know, we will be cursed if there's something within us, you know, that's out of whack in God, right? And then then we have a nice little launching pad for that to happen. Do you guys understand that? Right? So the only power the devil has is the power that we give it. You know, and so we need to be aware that we live lives, right, that are righteous, you know, that are in God. And so, the temptation continues on. In verse 14, it says, when the devil had finished every temptation. Now, so seemingly in Luke's point of view, that these three are just some, you know, and he spent this time in the Luke passage. There's a note that for 40 days the devil was tempting Jesus the whole time. It wasn't just after he had finished fasting. And so he says when he had finished the word every temptation, right? And so, you know, in Hebrews where he says he's been tempted in all things just as we, right? This is allusion to that, right? Every temptation, right? He was tempted with it this time. And then he departed from him until an opportune time. Now, you may have overcome the enemy in certain areas of your life, but it doesn't mean that he's totally disappeared. He's going to wait for an opportune time to come, right? He's going to wait for a time when we're weak, a time when we're lonely, a time when we are alone, you know, a time that we're, you know, struggling through different things. And he is, you know, takes advantage of people's weak times. You know, he's a pariah, he's a parasite, you know, and so he's going to wait for an opportune time. So that's why it's important for us to continually be ready, you know, to be vigilant, you know, in this thing. It doesn't mean that, you know, that we're in a war all the time, right? Even soldiers have leave, right? And so, but it's that heart of just being vigilant, just always checking ourselves along the way. And so he comes and then in verse 17, I don't want you to lose the meaning of this. This is kind of pretty cool. I mean, some scholars have said that, you know, because they read continually, right? So they take order. What happened to me that Jesus, when he comes in the temple, at that very moment, they're actually reading the Isaiah passage, you know, here, which is about, you know, about the Messiah, right? Isaiah 61. And I mean, what timing is this, right? You know, they're reading the scroll, and you happen to be reading about yourself right at that moment when you enter the temple. I mean, it has to be a God thing. You know what I mean? I mean, they happen to be reading Isaiah, you know, when he comes. They happen to be reading Isaiah 61 when he comes. And so he comes and shares, and then he explains to them. And, in verse 21, what a statement. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. You know, in other words, in his own way, he's saying, here I am. You know, it's kind of a little hint. And then, you know, these guys get all, you know, puzzled about him and whatnot. And then he starts really offending them. I mean, you know, verse 23, right? No doubt you quote yourself to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we heard was done in Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well. You know, and Jesus' response to them, right, is really simple. He says, you know, there were a lot of people that were hungry and thirsty, but God only came. And the key is, he came to a non-Jew, right? And then he says, in the days of Elisha, right, there were many, many lepers in Israel, but God came to the Syrian, right, and him only, you know? And after hearing this, you know, can you imagine such an ethnocentric people, right? These guys are angry, you know? And it says in 28, and they were filled with rage as they heard these things. And Jesus is just merely giving them a picture of what's to come, which is Gentile inclusion, right? And which will really be the message of Acts all the way through. So Luke really carries this message even from early on. I mean, he even picks it up all the way in Luke 4, and he carries it all the way through into the book of Acts. And they were amazed at his teaching, you know, and for someone different than anyone else, he taught, you know, as well as he did. You know, and so it's proclamation, demonstration, going back and forth. He's interrupted by a demon. In verse 35, it says he rebuked him, right? So be quiet, come out of him. Then later on, In verse 39, this is Simon's mother-in-law. Standing over, he rebuked the fever as well. Now, make a little side note. Sometimes illnesses, right, are demonically driven. You know, sometimes illnesses are a result of our bad health, our bad eating choices. You know, hopefully none of you guys made those bad eating choices last night, right? I was very tempted to myself, you know, but I stayed vigilant. You know, but we, you know, sometimes, you know, things happen to our bodies and whatnot. And it's not, you know, it's not a demon, you know. Like, for me, I got scrapes all over my leg right now and quite painful. You know, I've got like 5 or 6 scabs all over. It wasn't a demon that did it. It was the ground, right? I dove for a ball and I got hurt, right? And so it wasn't, you know, and so some injuries or some things are just natural byproducts of living in this sinful world. Right, but some illnesses are at byproducts of the devil, you know. And so Jesus, you'll make a note. He makes a note. Sometimes he says, "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Sometimes he prays over them, right, and they get well. And sometimes he rebukes the fever, or he rebukes the woman that was hunched over, you know, or he'll rebuke the illness, or he'll rebuke the wind as well. And so obviously the rebuke, right, is geared towards a kind of an encounter with a demonic entity, you know. And so sometimes when you're sick, it wouldn't be a bad idea to rebuke the sickness. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what I do. If I'm sick or something, that's my first line of defense. I rebuke it. I don't know. I mean, I don't have the discernment that Jesus had. I mean, I wish I did, you know. So I just try everything, you know. And so my first line of defense, I pray, right? I ask God. You know, and if nothing's happening, then I think maybe there's some demonic activity, and I rebuke it. If that doesn't happen, I go hit the aspirin, you know, or grab the Tylenol, or whatever the case may be, or go to see the doctor, you know. And so I just make sure I cover myself in all areas, you know. And so if we are praying for the sick, you know, if we are praying for ourselves who are sick or whatnot, it'd be wise for us to explore all the different avenues by which this sickness could come upon, right? Sometimes it could very well be very demonically driven, you know, one of the clear signs for me, you know, in years of ministry, when I've encountered people with premature arthritis, you know, and this is one I seem to get a pretty good grip on, right? But I have young people come up to me, you know, especially young women, and they have premature, I mean, they're like 20-some, you know, years old, and they have arthritis in their hands. And to me, you know, that is indicative of a demonically driven illness. You know, and most times, and I'm not saying all, so I'm not going to give you a proof of this, but in most times, it's dealing with an area of unforgiveness, you know. And sure enough, many, many times I've prayed for them, you know, and I've just simply asked them, you know, do you have any issues with your mom or your dad, or is there any unforgiveness, you know? And then they start breaking down and they cry, and by the time they finish repenting, their hands are back to normal. You know, and so there are some things that, you know, very general we can see are kind of demonically driven illness. Not all illnesses, right? So don't go crazy and stuff. You know, but there seem to be some things in our life that are demonic. And so when that comes, you rebuke it. You know, you take the command of God over your life and you rebuke it. You know, notice another thing here that the demons, they knew who Jesus was. They knew exactly who he was. You know, their number one job is to try to get us not to know who he is, because they know who he is, you know. And then if we get to know him, their job number two is they try to get us to not understand or not believe who we are in Christ, right? You know, because if you know who God is, that's half the battle. But if you know who you are in God, that's it, man. Powerful, you know, powerful in God, you know. And so they try to break our identity up a bit. Let's close our eyes a little bit and just kind of meditate on this. Are there areas in your life that you are unsubmitted in? And out of that unsubmission, has there been a handover of power to the enemy? We need to get that power back. That happens through repentance and restoration. just submit. Right? That's why James says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Great formula. Right? We submit, we resist, and he flees. If there are areas, just submit that to God and watch him do a deep work. If we're praying for the sick, you know, people that are not well around us, and it could be physical sickness, emotional sickness, you know, mental sickness, spiritual sickness. You know, if that's the case, maybe there is a demonically driven point somewhere. And rebuke it. You have the authority. The fever, right? The headache, the body ache, the cold, the cancer. If that is the case, the authority of God is in you to rebuke. So let's just spend a little time in prayer today. Let's take care of business. Let's pray for ourselves in this way. Let's pray that we would really operate out of a thankful heart. There'd be a real attitude of gratitude. Let's also pray that we would always see the good in things. You know, as Paul tells us, right, that we're always looking above and not below. Right? Whatever is true, whatever is good, whatever is right, whatever is reputation, you know, it says let your mind dwell on these things. Let's pray that we'd be not just necessarily positive people, but we'd be people that look through God's lens at life. Let's pray for ourselves in that way. Let's pray for our discipleship. Let's pray for our Growing in Christ class on Friday nights. I ask God to continue to bless them and use them, probably not to get nervous about their memory verses, but to really grow during this time. Let's pray for Experiencing God, our group. There are 11 of us, including myself, that are going to retreat tomorrow over the weekend. And I really pray that we would really encounter God during this time, that the Lord really speak to us, and that we every single one would hear God's voice and minister to each other. Let's just pray for the retreat this weekend, and ask God just put His hands upon us. Let's pray for our discipleships. Let's pray for our house church ministry, and let's pray for our launch. It'll be March, the week of March 3rd is when we're going to begin. The next few Sundays, you'll be hearing from different house church leaders, and it's going to be a really wonderful time. Let's pray that every person in our church would be a part of a house church somewhere, that they would prayerfully pray through this process and not just pick, you know, location or a place or a time. That God would literally lead them into these places. Pray for the leaders. Ask God to really anoint them and just build confidence in them. Pray that God, actually, it seems like we have enough venues right now. And the Lord's really provided and blessed us, and really thank God for that. But let's just pray for real significant ministry to happen through this ministry. Let's pray for our house church ministry. Let's pray for Brother James. Let's pray for his friend Rich. He's battling a malignant late stage a brain tumor. He's a strong believer, and his faith, perseverance, and positive attitude has been inspiring to many, but he still needs a lot of prayer to beat this and receive full healing. Pray for his wife and their three young children as well. Pray for James's sister and brother-in-law. Pray that they may daily draw closer to God and restore their relationships and faith in Him, and that God would bless them in their marriage and their family. And also pray for James that he would grow to have a greater intimacy with Him, gain greater discernment and hearing His voice in all areas of his life, church, work, and relationships, and that he would continue to fight the good fight. Mm-hmm. Let's pray for James. Bless God, your son James, Lord, and just touch him, God. We just pray right now for his friend, Rich. In the name of Jesus, God, we speak to the tumor. We say, be gone now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you would literally shrink this thing, God, and thank you for the faithfulness, God, and the perseverance. pray for Sandro. Let's pray for God to help him to contend and press on to break the chain of non-believers in his family. Pray for God to equip him with the full armor and direction and strength to lead a running ministry here in Hong Kong and use running as an icebreaker for faith. Pray for discipline in his quiet time and prayer time and opportunities to spend time with him and reveal his ultimate plan for him. Pray for a breakthrough in his relationship with others and a return of peace and calm in his heart. For God to continue to build him as a leader in the workplace, to reach his targets and help in teaching and coaching others. Pray for opportunities in OA to reach out to others in Hong Kong and Asia. For supernatural and physical and mental strength and my next challenge to run the 250-kilometer Gobi Desert Race in June of this year and to raise money for the Christian Zhengsheng Association. Let's really pray for him. Wow, it's kind of crazy, man. Heck. Father, we just bless Sandro, Lord, and pray that you really do a significant work, God, over his life, Father, and that really press in and break through and break the chain, God. Lord, we just speak the word of salvation over his family. God, I pray that you'd equip him with a full armor, God, and just really bring direction and strength, God, and to lead a running ministry in Hong Kong, God, that he would use running as an icebreaker. Lord, give him the discipline in his quiet time and prayer time and opportunities to spend time with him and reveal his ultimate plan for him. Lord, just pray for a breakthrough, God, in his relationships with others and a return of peace and calm in his heart. Lord, pray for God to continue to build him as a leader in the workplace, help him to reach all of his targets and help in teaching and coaching others around him. Lord, pray that it will really create opportunities in OA, God, to reach out to others in Hong Kong and Asia. Lord, and for supernatural physical and mental strength, God, and his challenge to run across the Gobi Desert. Lord, just touch him there, God. And just really bring, we just speak shalom, God, over Sandro's heart. God, and all the woundedness and things are moving around. We just speak peace there, Father God, that you really do a work, God, helping to raise funds for the Zhengsheng Association, God, that you really do a deep work over his life. So bless him, Jesus. Touch him, God, in a powerful way. Let's pray for our brother Tim. Let's pray that he'd be faithful and obedient in his calling, that he'd be more Christ-like and a blessing to others. Pray for guidance in his career, his marriage, his house church, and other ministries he's involved with. Pray for health, good health for his parents, work satisfaction for his dad. Bless his brother Jeff with a fulfilling career and a Christ-centered wife, and that his 70-year-old aunt would experience God and be saved. And so let's bless Tim this way. God. Father, we just thank you. We bless you, God. And Lord, we thank you for so much power that you do give to our lives, Lord, and the partnership, God, that you desire from us, Lord. And we don't want to, Lord, aimlessly give that away to the enemy of our souls. And so help us to be vigilant, God. Help us to be aware. Lord, help us to have discernment, Lord, over so many areas of our life. And more than anything, God, help us to be submitted to you, Lord, and we just want to run the race, God, that is set before us. And so watch over us today, God. We thank you, Lord, for the many things that you have in store for us, God. We just want to join you in that work, Lord. And so please speak to us throughout this day. We bless you. We thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a good morning this morning. I know today's your last day, right, Jonathan?